what? Hey, just because you do that, that means you care. Yes, we want you.
We have two bills and one resolution.
You're live, dear.
All right, let me know when y'all are ready.
We're live.
Oh, okay. Thank you, clerk. Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land meeting to order. And the time is 12:59. Clerk, can we have a roll call, please?
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Keene?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Chair Revard?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Next item on our agenda is prayer, and I've asked Congressman Hamilton to render a prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I am Dr. Wakanda, Wakanda, and Jinky. Father, we ask you to be in our heart and our minds. We come together one people under your watch, Lord. Please be with the families and homes represented here, the families who are dealing with mourning and sickness, and our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be. All these things we ask in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Congressman. Clerk, who do we have on the Zoom?
This is Greg Laird.
Okay, good afternoon, Attorney Laird. Who else do we have?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Congresswoman Lemon. Jeff Hager here, just logged in.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hager. Congresswoman Revard's the chair, just for your FYI.
Got it.
Hello, Mr. Hager. Good afternoon.
Hey, Congresswoman Revard, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Mr. Steinke, are you on the call?
Yes, ma'am, and I have Kimberly Pearson here in my office as well.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Kimberly. And Speaker, is it you and Congresswoman Redcorn?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Speaker, is it you and Congresswoman Redcorn?
Oh, hello, Ms. Terry Mason Moore.
Hello, hey, Chairwoman.
Good afternoon, everybody. You and Congresswoman Redcorn?
Okay, Terry, we're having a hard time hearing you, but I'm glad that you did join the call, just to let you know.
I am here.
Okay, perfect.
Terry, we're having a hard time hearing you, but I'm glad that you did join the call, just to let you know.
I am here.
Okay, perfect. Terry,
is this better?
Yes, that sounds way better.
Okay.
And then we have Congressman Potts. Good afternoon, Congressman Potts.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Committee, the next item that we need to take care of are the approval of minutes. And I had the clerk send out the support docs, and they're also located on the calendar invite. And those minutes are dated June 29th, 2023. Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes of June 29th as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, thank you. The June 29th, 2023 minutes have been approved as presented. Okay, committee, we have two bills and one resolution on our agenda. The first item is ONCA 2375. As an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $750,000 to the Community Development Financial Institution, CDFI, out of the retained revenue, and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the chair, and at this time, I'd like to turn it over to my vice chair, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. So this is your piece of legislation. Ma'am, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. In the support docs that were sent out, I wanted to reference those, the letter that came to Speaker Goodfox on July 14th from Raymond Redcorn, who's the chair of the CDFI. And in that, he's requesting a capital infusion of $750,000. And he has provided a lot of support documentation for this request and the other request to amend the bylaws. And so at this time, he is in attendance. He also had sent some Q&A for the committee, and I feel like this is pretty straightforward as to what they're asking for and where the money would come from. But if the committee has any questions, if we could direct those to the chair at this time of the CDFI.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Rivard. Mr. Redcorn, do you have any opening remarks that you'd like to make? If not, that's fine.
I'll keep them brief.
Great, go ahead.
As you know, the Congress has laid the foundational legislation to create the place to borrow money, I think 2 years ago, actually. You funded the board for the CDFI. I'm going to call it PBM because that's what we call it, the place to borrow money. You funded the operational expenses, and you also funded the board expenses to let us get stood up. We have hired our final two employees. They both start the 14th of this month. And we are requesting $750,000 specifically for lending capital. We have no lending capital at present. We do have about everything else we need. I will give you a little bit of news. Yesterday, Mr. Coburn and I spoke personally with our IRS representative from whom we are requesting a 501c3 designation. It's kind of a long story, but it's getting progressively improved as we go along. But I think it's safe to say, based on the conversation we had on the phone and the paperwork we shared and are getting ready to fax over, that we should have our 501c3 designation within 30 days. Actually, what they told us was quite a bit less than that, but in an effort to manage expectations, I generally like to add something, especially when you're dealing with a large federal bureaucracy. I think some of the material that you've been sent covers what I'm about to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. The $750,000 is not all going to be used directly for lending capital. It is going out for lending capital, but we are going to leverage that money because there are many opportunities to do so in the federal government. Christopher can give you some chapter and verse on that if that's what you want to know, but we hope to use, thank you, We hope to use that both directly and to leverage additional lending capital for specific purposes as the federal government puts money out there and has you apply for it and says if you have free capital that you want to designate that is also going to this, then we will increase your, we will match your dollars 3-1, for example. There's some stuff that does, Christopher knows a whole lot more about that than I do. So that's the, since we're on the appropriation first, I'm happy to answer any questions. I will certainly defer to Christopher if there's a question that he knows the answer to because of his experience and operational knowledge.
Thank you, Mr. Redcorn. Appreciate that. Does the committee currently or any member of Congress have any questions for Mr. Redcorn?
So far.
Oh, here we go. Congressman Tillman.
I've been here before. Yes, sir, Congressman. Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to say that I'm just doing a little vetting myself and speaking to a member of the Creek Mission Council, Mr. William Lowe.
Need a point of order just real quick. I do apologize. Can we get a mic for Congressman Tillman?
Just grab that one right now.
Here. Give this. I'm very sorry, Congressman Tillman.
Talk to William Lowe of the Muscogee Creek Council, who I have a lot of respect for, and he's a fine gentleman, and he spoke volumes about Christopher. Let me aware of the position that you held with the Muscogee Creek Nation there for the 5 years that you worked with. Unfortunately, he told me the story, it got a little politics in the way, but he highly recommended you. And so that has really added to my willingness to go ahead with this venture of the nation. I feel like we're in good hands. I feel that you have the knowledge and the experience to understand applications as they come across your desk. And we will, you know, be monitoring the situation closely, but it made me just feel a lot better. And then my other question was, just kind of knowing some people in the banking business, $750,000 isn't a lot of money when it comes down.
We'll certainly accept more.
I know you would, but talking to some other folks that I know in the banking business, they're like, that's not a lot of money at all. So I don't know how you're going to pick and choose when the applications come in. I fully expect you all to be able to come back to Congress for more appropriation if necessary and as needed. But I want to see this thing work. I truly do. And I think there's a lot of optimism amongst our constituents that see maybe a light now that they can use this as a resource for their own, whether it's personal help or whether it's their business startups, whatever comes across. So looking forward to seeing what you get accomplished, but I just want you to know that I fully support you going forward.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Go right ahead, Mr. Coburn, if you'd like to respond.
Thank you. Will Lowe is a good man.
Yes.
And,
lift up your mic so you can hear yourself. If you can hear yourself, we're good to go.
Oh, you don't push the button. I
don't push
the button. There you
go. Okay, here we go. Say it again. Willow's what?
Willow's a good man.
It's a good man.
Okay. And, started out I was hired by the chief over there, but eventually it was the Congress or the council that was more of my, you know, how politics churns. But we won a lot of favor. They trusted me a lot. We took something that was nearly going under, and we correctly righted it, and then we just doubled and tripled year after year after year. And we had a lot of support, and we won over people. And hopefully with our performance here and the proven metrics and the things that I've done as far as programming, we'll do the same thing here. What we don't know yet, since it's brand new, never been done here, is how quickly our pipeline of clients will grow and our community, but we're optimistic on how that will grow. So if I could address the 750 as a request, yes, more is better. Okay. I anticipate first year to be smaller lending based on the size of the demographic area, based on what we're doing, then the scale of what we had there with Metro Tulsa being part of our jurisdiction over there. It could grow, the demand could be higher, but we're not gonna know the demand level until we get out there and we start going. And so hopefully we will not have to come back to Congress often. 750 is a starter. Probably we will be matching against that. We're applying for a USDA IRP, which is a very specific, cheap, long-term loan for lending capital, but it's awarded like a competitive grant. So it's a 1 year 30, well, it's a 1% 30-year loan. And we can take an increments of $500,000. So, and that has a leverage requirement. It's only for moderate to rural small business, and it requires that it can only fund up to 75% of a small business loan in certain geographic areas. So right there, if we get that, plus if we have unrestricted lending capital, which we're asking you for now, we're only having to tap 25% of this unrestricted, and we're getting that three quarters match from the other pot. And there are several other programs like that that we can qualify for, but we've got to get through our first year, year and a half, and get audited and get our certification from U.S. Treasury before then we're really competitive.
Sure, yes, Mr. Tillman.
Thanks for that information. And I did understand that the certification comes after 1 year.
Yes, and right now, since September of last year, U.S. Treasury has paused the certification process as they were retooling that and going through public comment. But what certification requirements were in the past was having at least a dozen loans, 1 year of lending, and a clean audit as metrics to get there. They're going to announce in late August or early September what the new rules are. They haven't redone this in 15 years. And then we'll know, but we're being told, and I was a member of the Native CDFI Network, which is the National Policy Committee for Native CDFIs across the country, about 70 groups like ours. And so I'm still in those talks and privy to some of what's going on. So I think we're gonna know in the next 6-8 weeks what the new rules are, and then we're gonna build toward that.
Is there, if I may, is there a USDA consumer or entrepreneur lending program that you've been a part of in the past?
We have the IRP from USDA, which is under their business and industry program. At the time, Brian Wiles ran that. Now he's been promoted, I think, to deputy state director. He has a lady taking over his roles. They've got two or three similar programs, but our first one in the gate to show them that this CDFI, this location knows what we're doing, our best option is to get an IRP and handle that well.
Okay, and you continue to be paid through a grant, is that correct?
My salary now?
Yes.
Is a part of it's coming through what's called the NACA, Native American Community Assistance Technical Assistance Grant, that the nation got $150,000 to help sponsor and set us up. A portion of my salary will be coming from that, and a portion's coming from the congressional appropriation.
Okay.
But that grant is on track to be spent down possibly by the end of FY24.
Okay, thank you.
Congresswoman Rebard?
Yes, thank you. I just, you know, this is one of those programs that we rolled out, and Congressman Tillman's comments I totally agree with, and what we have done as a committee, I believe, and as a Congress, is let's go slow. And they've worked right along with us, I believe. You know, when we said, you know, well, what do your policies look like? And you guys were already in the middle of working on those, and you've got those developed now, and you're working with the IRS on your 501c3, and we've got your, you know, your bylaws are in place. All these things necessary to roll out a program that'll benefit our folks. But I appreciate the you know, staying on top of it and working on it. You've got people employed, and that's where I wanted to see this program go so it's successful and that we're ready to have a rollout date. Do you have a specific target date
as to when you're going to be ready to start lending?
The 14th of this month is when my two new staff, my finance officer and my loan officer, will start. We had a delay. We had initial offers to two clients, and they kind of, I can't fault them, but they leveraged where they were and delayed and then stayed where they were. So we had to reopen and start that process again. And we did a second round of interviews. I think we got better people. They want it more. They believe more in the idea. They're very coachable, very talented. So they will start 2 weeks from yesterday on the 14th. I will be getting them trained over probably over the entire fall. But I'm thinking that we should be possibly able to lend as early as September 15th, which is a Friday. If several other things that are in the mix go right, that might be a target date for an opening. We've got logo design going on for signage. We've got materials. We've got the software system, both for accounting ordered and the lending and database system ordered. The staff will need to be trained on that. When those pieces are together, we'll roll out our printed literature, what our initial mix of products are going to be. We'll also work with area places in the Osage Nation to where we can do trainings. The curriculum, half of it's already been ordered. The entrepreneurship curriculum's already been ordered. I'm about to order the personal budgeting and finance, more for the consumer lending side. That educational material is about to be ordered. I may use the same vendor I used at Creek Nation to do our technical assistance outreach classes, or I may find another vendor. So those pieces are all coming together all at the same time. Most of our loan clients that are loan ready will come out of our outreach. That's how we refresh the pipeline. Because typically we're dealing with higher risk people, and we've got to show them how we work, learn what their needs are, and hopefully we can elevate their skills by interacting with us. And from those educational outreaches, with skin in the game and people willing to grow their skills, they're more likely to succeed, and we're more likely to get paid back, because delinquency and default in any lending is important as well. So we could have some people in September that come to us, they're already established. We could get them do some lending the last 2 weeks of September, but probably we will be beginning September and into October the outreach to do more lending with the population as a whole. How that comes and what they need, whether it's small business, whether it's agribusiness, whether it's consumer or something housing related, we're just gonna have to test that and see, but those are the four areas we're planning on lending.
Thank you, Mr. Coburn. Committee, members of Congress, anybody else with any other questions at this time? I actually would just like for you to go through, so that anybody listening in and anybody who listens to this committee meeting later, to understand, you know, what are the four categories that you're going to focus on in your first year of lending?
Okay. Typically what's needed in environments similar to this and what we've seen from the market research that was done before I came here, small business, and we're talking very small business. The category Treasury calls it micro enterprise. So typically we're talking 50K and under loans. Mom and pops, people shifting from being, maybe they're a welder, their body's worn out, they wanna go out on their own, they got a good reputation, they know their niche on how to weld. They don't know how to market, they don't know how to do their accounting, they don't know how to do those type of things. Well, that client might be an ideal client for me to help transition from being an employee to being an entrepreneur or a boss. So they might attend some classes, get some skills, come together. We may do smaller lending at first or larger lending. That's one example in a small business micro enterprise space. We, going to my past experience, we also had some native artisans that we did some loans for who had cyclical income, just festivals, holidays, other things. If there's enough demand, we may do some specialized training in Etsy. Etsy is an online artist marketplace. And so that might be a type of loan as well. Again, this is the business field. Agribusiness is very similar in the amounts that we would do, but that's more for someone that might be trying to qualify for USDA or trying to qualify for farm credit. And raw land is not applicable. They have to have skin in the game for the federal government's rules. But if that land is fenced and there's a pond dug, they could leverage our loan, their improved land, they're still paying us back, but now they might qualify for something else too. So we're helping that family leverage in the agribusiness space to get more opportunity to develop that working area. That could be livestock as well. I'm a little cautious with livestock because the commodity prices go up and down so much, and we've had so much problem with water, so I want to make sure that's wise, but that's an idea there. Consumer lending, we're probably going to roll that out in what I call pilots. We'll have special cases come up where there may be one or two small projects. We're going to try certain types of loans to see what suite of products we do in consumer lending. There's a lot of need. A lot of the reasons these organizations are stood up is to combat predatory lending. So whatever finance place or loan place or payday loan place that they otherwise might have. CDFIs are special because the whole industry was created to create access to affordable lending capital. People in our markets may not have access to any other option but the financer or the loan company or whatever else. So we may do some consumer lending products in that space. Another predatory lending that's really big, we don't have the capital to do it yet, but I think might be wise is car note lots, because that's credit card or higher rates, but for a vehicle, and people have to get around. There's so much geography here without a car and no infrastructure in rural areas, they've got to do that. So those are some possibilities I don't know yet. One thing that was really successful for us at Muskogee Fund, we did an employee loan program, and that virtually took most of the employees off of using holiday credit cards. And we did a holiday loan. And we did it as a simple fee instead of an interest rate. And then they paid it back over 9 months. And then there was a cooling off period for a couple months. And we did it again. And that grew and grew and grew. And it also performed well for us on the financial side. It was a small amount of revenue we charged, but it was consistent. So that's another possibility. Perhaps working with employees of the nation as well for some kind of program like that. What's typical and what I've learned in a lot of environments is tribal nations have tried that, but they weren't, most of those programs didn't go well. And so when they had a CDFI established, the CDFI took on that role because we are bankers and we know how to structure it. We know how to structure the payments. We know how to structure, and it's much more for citizens of any tribal nation, if they know it's from a financial institution versus from the nation, they realize it's a loan and not an entitlement, and they do have to pay it back. So, and then the housing space, there's a housing shortage in the area. There's a lot of homes that need repair. CDFIs can do loans sometimes that banks and credit unions can't because of our relationship with the sponsoring nation. So if we have any properties that are on restricted or trust land that might have trouble, we may be able to, with our relationship with the nation, be able to do some financing on home repair or home improvement. There's also a big push at the federal level for solar. And there's opportunities in the Inflation Reduction Act for that, and CDFIs could have an opportunity there. There's a lot of federal money out there. The issue is, I wish we were a year further in time than we are, so we were ready for it. But we're gonna prepare like we're a big financial institution now, so that we're ready for each opportunity as they come. So the four spaces, just to restate, small business, typically very small business, agribusiness at the same levels, some consumer, and some housing. And then we'll see how that comes out.
Thank you. For that explanation, just 1 minute, I'll get you. I just had a few people, just, you know, they're listening, and so they're interested in where we're going with this, because it has been a while since it was put into place, and it's great that Congresswoman Rivard talked about the steps and the slow steps that we've taken. And so I actually have one more question that I just received. And, you know, we know that you guys, you know, we want you to be, the CDFI to be successful, and then if it turns into other things, as far as the banking world goes. So the question that just came in is, at what point do you, and would you ever be able to be our lender for our casinos?
Oh, that's deep pockets. There's a few steps in between. Once we're certified by Treasury, in that pathway, there's a lot of growth opportunities. So CDFIs in general, for those in the audience that are listening, community development financial institution. Financial institutions important. We got banking rules, banking regs, we've got to perform. But we're designed to serve a target audience of our community, and we're designed to see the economy and the individuals we serve develop and improve. So a simple thing I call it a smoothie. You take the best parts of practical education from a career tech or a vo-tech or a university setting on business skills that are pragmatic and applicable now. Throw that into the smoothie. Throw in the nonprofit member-oriented nature of a credit union. And throw in the financial metrics and the effort of a decent bank. That smoothie is what we are as an industry. And in that, we could grow into having a credit union. We could grow into having a bank. The big distinction is banks are typically for-profit and credit unions are typically nonprofit. We could also, after 5 years of being certified, qualify automatically for what's called a community development entity. And with that, then we can participate in new market tax credits. And there's a lot of money at the national level in that field for investments and improving the area and partnering with the nation on doing projects. All of that's in the channel that we're already swimming in. We just have to make our way to get certified.
Thank you very much for that. And they were happy with your response. Congressman Keene.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for coming. I fully support this, and I hope we can eventually branch out into consumer loans. I know of various tribes in Oklahoma that are involved with loans. They make between $3 and $5 million a year. It's a steady return every single year. Today's 2023 in early August. To this day, we don't have any kind of commercial enterprise that's non-gaming that even provides us with a steady return of $3 or $4 million. We haven't had this since the beginning of our government in 2006. I think what we're starting here is something good, and I hope to see it expanded. One thing of note, though, we must be careful, obviously, tread lightly as we grow this business, because we have seen some predatory lenders come in and try to use tribal sovereignty as a shield to engage in shady dealings and stuff like that. Of course, we would be mindful of that. But like I said, I think this is something that we do need to expand and grow, because the Osage Nation is in dire need of economic activity that's not gaming. And we've failed for over a decade now. So I think this is a good start. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Next, did you want to respond?
I just wanted to add one thing, and I believe Mr. Redcorn did as well. So keeping with that thought of the future, if we had a credit union down the road, if we're doing lending in that, it meets our nonprofit mission. We are making our way through the 501c3 process. Had a great phone call yesterday. We hope to see that within shortly, let's just say. That will allow us to attract a lot of donated capital. Part of what you're saying, and it may be necessary also, is to stand up a for-profit bank down the road, because that can pay a dividend where a nonprofit can't. So financial strategy could be loan fund, credit union, and a bank. The bank is the only thing that could pay a financial dividend back to the nation. The financial dividend that we would pay back to the nation is quickly reducing our need for support from the nation, and then reinvesting that as a net nonprofit into growing and growing and growing what we do. So there's two thoughts there. They're all in financial, but two parts are in the nonprofit world. One part needs to be in the for-profit world. Does that make sense? And then I'm going to yield to Mr. Redcorn. He had something he wanted to say.
Then I have, after Mr. Redcorn, I have Speaker Good Fox and then Congresswoman Rebard. Go ahead, Mr. Redcorn.
So, Congressman Keene, to be more direct about it, the laws that you use to form the foundation preclude us ever, this organization, ever giving a dividend back to the Osage Nation. That's how we're able to get nonprofit status and hopefully draw down corporate dollars and donations that we can deploy, loan, get back with interest, redeploy.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you very much. Speaker Good Fox, you have the floor.
Thank you. So one of the things that I've been interested in as we venture down this road is getting our Osages, whether they're 18 or they're 25 or they're 35 or even if they're 50 something, getting established credit for them, because we have so many tribal members that they don't qualify for a credit card, or if they do, they haven't had proper financial advice on how to, make good payments and how that credit score affects everything moving forward, whether it's a car loan or a payday loan or a mortgage. And I have heard from so many tribal members that they just, they don't have credit at all. And whether it's a credit card that is, because I know that Bank of Oklahoma does credit cards that even for people that have no credit history, where it's kind of, you put the money up and then I don't really know how that all works, but even something like that to start establishing credit for people that have zero. So is that something that eventually you all might be able to do?
Yes. One of the things that I did at Muskogee Fund, I will do again, is we'll be eligible, again, after a year of lending, to join a nationwide co-op of smaller lenders in a group called Credit Builders Alliance. That membership will allow us to report to all three major credit bureaus, and every loan, including if we even did a small 7-9 month short-term consumer loan, would be reported at that point. That will be after we have a year of lending under our belt and an audit and we're certified, then we'll be eligible for membership. But yes, every loan we do, we will report and help them build credit. On the credit education side, we are not seeking, or nor will we seek, to become a credit counseling agency. But what we will do in our education efforts, in our community development programming, is we will have, especially geared to those that might want consumer lending, we will have a robust set of coursework that people can take to learn knowledge on how the rules of credit work, how the ideas of budgeting work, how to do and learn what are the best practices to get where they want to go in life. What we cannot do is advise them, because credit counseling is a different field and it's regulated very differently. But we can have resources to where we can help them. Here are these accredited partners in our area. They can give you one-on-one advice. So we will be addressing that. And we'll be also addressing financial literacy with young people through turning a high school gym into a living board game so they learn how to handle money. And we'll try to do that each fall and spring in an area school with the Native Youth Group.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Anything further, Speaker Goodfox?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Revard.
So, there was a little bit of discussion in the front end. I had spoke to Chair Redcorn multiple times before we, put this legislation together, the resolution and what have you, and I did want to talk about the amount that they were requesting, the $750,000, and I feel like they came in low at the minimum of what they were going to ask Congress, and because Chair Redcorn, has been a Congress member and, of course, the Assistant Chief previously, he understands how we operate. He understands our government and when we're waiting on Treasury for information and things of that nature, because all this was pending on our memo from the Treasurer with regards to the balance in the retained revenue fund. And so we stuck with the $750,000, but I just wanted the committee to know that I wasn't opposed to giving them a full million, which would take an amendment, to this bill to increase it by $250,000. But before I do that, out of respect for the committee, I just wanted to know, to talk about that a little bit. I do know that we're going into CEJO in September, and I would assume that we would be looking at this, and as Congressman Tillman said, you know, having our eye on this because we want it to be successful. That's the goal. And so, again, I applaud every step taken in a slow manner to get to where we're ready to roll out. But we do have money available, and I just wanted to see if the committee would, I just don't want to throw an amendment at you at $250,000 without having the respect and discussion with the committee.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Committee, did anybody like to weigh in on an increase? Congressman Tillman?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Congresswoman Rivard's statement. Was that available through the retained revenue?
Yes, sir.
What would that leave the balance?
Right now, we're sitting at a little over $11 million available in the retained revenue.
Yeah. Well, as I stated before, speaking with bankers, that we're very concerned that $750,000 wasn't enough. I don't know if $250,000 more is going to be the answer. But with that kind of money being available, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to even thinking about doubling the amount, 750 to 1.5, just throwing it out there to say, you know, makes their job a little bit easier. And I'm impressed with the discussion we have today, from the representatives of the CDFI, and I don't want to hamstring them with cash shortages. So to give them a fair chance, I think that could be part of the conversation as well. With that balance in the retained revenue fund, moving a little bit quicker to even possibly double it.
Thank you, Mr. Tillman, for your comments. Congresswoman Stabler?
Yeah, I'm not for raising it. They've requested 750. They have a plan to get started with it. We have a real tendency to inflate things on a whim. They have a plan moving forward. I don't see any point in expanding that right now. You know, like I said, we're investing in this as a service for our people, and so let's let it take its course as it's being planned on. And, you know, we'll still be here later on. There's no point in having this kind of a knee-jerk reaction to something. So just letting you all know, that's where I am right now.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Anyone else from the committee? Mr. Maker?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am not on this committee, but as a member of this Congress and someone who has supported this idea of a financial institution the whole year I've been on this Congress. It's been in my mail out every time. So I'm really glad we're making this move, and I wish it could have been sooner, but I'm glad we're doing it now. And I've heard good things about the planning of all this. I think I've heard some good comments from Congressman Tillman and all of us, Congresswoman Rivard. Everybody's got good things to say. And I was talking to Mr. Redcorn when this first came about, and I said, let's just make it an even million. I mean, why make it 750? I mean, it looks a lot better on our balance sheet and our, you know, startup. And I know it's going to be needed. From what I've heard today, from just what was brought up, there's a lot of cost there getting into the amount that can even be loaned. So there's a lot of that going on, stuff that's coming up that maybe is new that we weren't anticipating. But I'm all about making this work, and I think it's badly needed. And I think that the Congress will definitely support an increase. And also, I just had a question about maybe some of the technical part of it. Who actually does the accounting part of the where does this money actually go? Who holds this money and who does the accounting part of it?
Thank you, sir. So the accounting will actually be handled by our finance officer. We will have QuickBooks that we are constructing where we will be able to give monthly reports to both Congress and the executive branch from our financial statements. We will have a myriad of accounts at a local bank. We already have one account there, but we will have every funding account that we get will be one revenue account. We will have an operating account where money comes in, loans or expenses go out, and when clients repay us, go back in. So we will have as possibly four or five accounts, but mainly an operating account, and each fund source will have its individual account. But it will be one of our team, and these statements are what we will be audited from. And we've already spoken with the acting treasurer. And for us to set up our stuff as best as we can, we're going to be constructing that not just from day one going forward, but we're going to be going back in time to every bit of money the nation spent toward our idea, recognizing those as revenues and every expense that ever was paid out. And that will give us a from a beginning of the time starting point for our cumulative audit history on what we're doing.
Congressman Tillman?
Yeah, Mr. Coburn, if you could speak to, and Mr. Redcorn as well, what would be the difference maker if the amount was increased to 1.5? Well, how does that make your life easier?
Thank you for the question. I worked in this body too long to not know how this works. The main thing from your perspective that I see is you have a $700,000 a year outlay from now until we make enough money to cover that $750,000. Any increase of any size in your appropriation shortens the amount of time and the ongoing expense of, excuse the expression, keeping us afloat operationally and board-wise until we reach probably 15 to 20 million in assets. Keep in mind that we can leverage this, get more money pulled down, lend that money out, make more money, and I'm going to leave it to the Congress to what the amount should be. We would welcome any increase in it, that's obvious. But it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So what we hope is that the Congress appropriates to us an amount they believe they can afford, and hopefully do that consistently to get us to the point where we are independent of the Congress in terms of our operational and board expenses. That's our goal too. That's our goal too.
You want to, oh, okay.
Just real quick, okay. Thank you. So you might be wondering, first year, what amount of lending capital do I need? Or do I think I need? We're looking at about 2 to 2.5 million based on projections that we're gonna have to move. And this pot of money that we're seeking support from Congress in the form of an appropriation is unrestricted, the remainder of which is probably going to become in some form a debt capital. Just like a bank or a credit union, they borrow money, they mark it up, they re-lend it. We're a financial institution, that's just the way it is. So if there's any variance in the amount you offer, that could be less debt capital we try to take. I like to run conservatively. I don't like being more than 50-50, 50 in borrowed capital and 50 in other sources, whether that be grants or appropriations or donations. But out the gate, whatever amount you can support us with sets us up that much more toward a successful ratio.
Thank you.
Chair, if there's not any more comments, and I would like to offer an amendment.
I actually have a comment. So I like what I like what I'm hearing, and from all sides, you know, the three sides, you know, there's to everything. And I like what Congressman, you know, where Congressman Tillman's thinking, you know, looking ahead, you know, having confidence in where we were, because there was a time when some of us didn't have confidence in this endeavor. I like what Congresswoman Stabler said, you know, we've all been there where we've just upped it or we've lowered it or we've all been there, and then uses the word knee jerk, and that's, we've done that before also. And those are all valid, you know, things to really consider when we're looking at here. I like what Mr. Coburn just said about, I like to be conservative. I appreciate that they came in asking for less than what they really would like to ask for. I get that, and I really like what Mr. Redcorn said. I wanted to call you Congressman. This is a marathon, and it kind of makes me lean towards more where Congresswoman Stabler's at. This first year, you know, what I hear you say, Mr. Coburn, is that they're going to be smaller type loans. You're going to have to get about 12 under your boat as of right now. The regulations may change. They most likely are. We don't know how they're going to change, but I'd be surprised if they let you have less than 12, you know, or a year. They may add more things to it, you know, what you're to be able to get certified. So, and something that's so important that Chair Redcorn said earlier that just really stands out to me, and when I'm speaking to you guys, you know, is that what's going to be needed in the future to continue to keep them afloat so that they do not have to come back here and ask for money. Because I truly believe that Chair Redcorn would love to not to have to come back here to ask for money, because he has sat in these chairs and he's sat over at executive. So I'm having trouble deciding, you know. Granted, the middle road would be easiest, $1 million. You know, if we stick with 750, I don't want to do that. 1.5, don't want to do that. So somewhere in the middle would be, you know, as Speaker Goodfox says, a cool million. I'm having a hard time with it. I really like the deliberance that you all are taking with this institution. And I'm so happy that we went ahead and went forward with it 2 years ago. I really am. I'm excited to see what it's going to be able to do for our little communities. Congresswoman Rebard.
Thank you, Speaker. Chair. I'd like to make a motion to amend ONCA 23-75, page 1, line 18. Strike 750,000 and insert 1 million.
Second.
Line 27. Strike 750,000 and insert 1 million.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor and a second. Any further discussion concerning this amendment and the amount to increase by $250,000? That's what this amendment does. Hearing none. Jordan, let's do a roll call vote.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Chair Rebard?
Yes.
The amendment passes. Thank you, committee. Any further discussion on this appropriation? Hearing none, is there any movement?
Chair, I'll make a motion to report out ONCA 23-75 as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Would you like for me to continue to chair?
So the next, I think we should ask the committee, the next item was the gaming legislation, or do you want to go ahead and move into the resolution so we could dismiss the...
Committee, would you like to stay with CDFI on topic and then finish up the meeting with gaming?
Yes.
I'm seeing all the shaking head of yes. Okay, great. So that's what we'll do. So I'll continue to chair. Is that correct, Ms. Rivard? All right, let's move on to the next item, agenda item. I'm sorry, my Congresswoman Rivard, would you want to read that next agenda item, please?
Yes, this next item is ONCR 23-14, a resolution to approve the amendments to the bylaws of the Place to Borrow Money Public Purpose Corporation in accordance with the Articles of Incorporation.
And you are the sponsor, ma'am.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead.
So at this time, the chair or the board comes to us asking for an approval to amend their bylaws. And the board had requested that the new section 2.13 be appended to Article 2 of the corporate bylaws. They'd asked that, you know, we insert the language that the appointment of the corporate officers, that the board of directors shall appoint a president and a secretary, each of which shall have such duties as determined by the board of directors and may appoint one or more vice presidents and such other officers as the board may deem necessary. And the reasoning is that this amendment was sought to make the corporate bylaws comport with Section 6-401 of the Osage Nation Nonprofit Corporation Code and to provide in the corporate bylaws the two indispensable corporate offices.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Mr. Redcorn or Mr. Coburn, either of you would like to elaborate a little?
It's pretty simple. We just want our bylaws and the law to match, and this is a minor issue. It's an important one, but it's a small issue that our board member, Mr. Blue, an attorney, discovered upon his review, and this was his recommendation to put this before the Congress and change the bylaws so that it works. Primarily, the main reason is there should be two indispensable people on that board according to the law, and this accomplishes that.
Thank you, Mr. Redcorn. Committee, members of Congress, does anybody have any comments or questions concerning this legislation? Well, I certainly appreciate being consistent. Okay. Any movement?
Chair.
Congresswoman Rivard.
I'll make a motion to move ONCR 23-14 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries, and ONCR 23-14 will report it to Congress with a due pass recommendation, and I relinquish the chair back to Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to recess for 10 minutes.
So moved. Somebody second.
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 We have a motion and a second, and we'll recess and return back in 10 minutes.
Coffee.
I was having a hard time with that amendment, y'all. I really am. I wanted to vote no, then I wanted to vote yes, then I wanted to vote no, then I wanted to vote yes.
Just help them.